Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see the church filling up again. And we found this after the first lockdown that it took a wee while for momentum to start to build. But it's just great to see people starting to come back. And it's good to see some of you for the first time in maybe over a year it is now since we've maybe had physical contact as such. So it's really good to see that. In the month of June, we moved towards our anniversary, which is in a couple of weeks' time. And it's our custom that June is a month where we reflect on our vision as a church and where we are in some of the ministries that are going on in terms of the life of the church. And it's just great to hear a little bit about the work that's going on with TLG and the exciting things that are happening. And it's one of the things... And you'll actually see as we put out the impact report in a couple of weeks' time for the anniversary. It's one of the things that you'll see that throughout the last year, the church has continued to work and influence and impact despite the restrictions that have been around us. And so God's work continues despite what happens in our surrounding environment. And it's good to hear of those young lives. And one of the areas that I hope that we will see developing is this whole outreach to young people and to children. And this vision of transforming young people's lives at critical points before things get too far. And just this idea of early intervention, changing directions. And it is amazing the impact that you can have just by bringing a defining moment into a young person's life and seeing it going in a different direction. I remember a guy I knew way back when I was in my early 20s, and we'd been working with unemployed young people. And 20 years after we had done this, he phoned me up, and he was a drug dealer at the time. He was sniffing glue. His life was a mess. He had been in foster home after foster home. And he phoned me up 20 years later, and he said, I've just tracked you down. So I just wanted you to know that I'm now a chef, which was amazing because he was a terrible cook, but I'm now a chef, and I'm married, and I have two kids. And my life is good, as far as you can define good. And he said, I want you to know that it was because of what you and the organization you were working with did for me way back then that I'm here in this place today. And so this ministry is an amazing ministry, and it's something that as a church we want to really very much commend. And it's great that we have Joe as part of the congregation here who heads up that work in Scotland, and we have to pray for her and support her in relation to that. As we go into June, we've also got opportunities in terms of baptism. We're hoping to have it's not ideal, but we're going to try and do it, despite the restrictions, have a baptismal service in a couple of weeks' time, and you'll be hearing more about that as we move towards it. But if you want to be baptized, there's still time to do so. So get in touch with either myself or Rosie or Brian and let us know if you're interested in being baptized. The other thing is this afternoon, we again have another TLG initiative that we're running. And it's called Emotional First Aid. And it's really to help people come to terms with their own personal mental health, but also how to support and help others who are struggling. And it's running from 5 to 7, and you can get the links and the details in the church notices. And it encourages many of us to do this, really for two reasons. First of all, I think we should all just check our own mental health, because it's been a rough 15 or 16 months, and I'm sure some people have dealt with it better than others. But secondly, just as a community, it's likely that we will find ourselves coming into contact with and needing to support others who are struggling. And so something like this, just a couple of hours, it will help you get hold of some of the basics in relation to supporting individuals in this. So I would encourage and commend this. I know it's a nice day, but just take the 2 hours out, 5 to 7 this afternoon, and engage with this program. Anyway, as we come to start our Vision Month, I want to look at the analogy of digging wells, and we're going to go and look at the wells in the Old Testament. And I don't know if you've ever been in the desert, but if you have ever been in the desert, you'll know that the struggle for water becomes something of a desperate enterprise. A few years ago, I was staying in Bethlehem, and while I was staying there, I decided to, on one of the days off, just to go and walk down a thing called the Wadi Kelt, which runs from roughly the sort of near Jerusalem all the way down to Jericho. And I thought this was a great idea, so I walked the Wadi Kelt. It was really hot, it was June, it was warm, and I took like half a bottle of water with me, and I started walking. This was, walked the Wadi Kelt for about 4 hours, and then came out into this, what they call the Judean Desert, and then started wandering around there, and then began to realize I was lost. And then I realized my water supply had run out. And I was kind of like, where do you find water? And as half an hour and an hour and 2 hours went on and 3 hours went on, I started to get very worried because I had no water. And you started to panic, and there was a kind of desperation there. What's going to happen? We need water. And that analogy, that kind of sense of panic of what's it going to be like, is something of what I feel as we go into a post-COVID world. Because, you know, in terms of Christianity and in terms of our society, it has been a very arid time. For the church, I can't believe that, what are we, 16 months in? That I'm still looking at a masked congregation 2 meters apart where we can't interact or sing together. And if you had told me 16 months ago that this would be the scenario, I would have said, you're insane. And I find myself having severe frustration at it. But not only frustration with it, but also, you know, where are we going to find the water? Where are we going to come into that period where actually there is refreshing and growth and new life? How possibly in this arid environment can we as a church community begin to see that? And then it's a very similar feeling. Here in this story in Genesis chapter 26, we see that Isaac had been doing pretty well. God had been blessing him, his crops were growing, his flocks were multiplying. And Abimelech, and the name Abimelech in the Old Testament, it's not actually a personal name. It's a generic term for king, like czar. It's a title. So Abimelech, you'll find there's a lot of Abimelechs in the Old Testament, but it just means the king. And the king and the people around the king were jealous of what was happening in terms of Isaac. And so they began to block up the wells and began to make it difficult for Isaac and for Isaac to thrive and grow and continuing to flourish. And so Isaac realized that he was in this situation, and he determined that he was going to go away and do something to bring about that period of refreshing and to find water again. And so we're told that Isaac went out as Abimelech's oppression was occurring, and he did two things. He redug wells, and he found new wells. And it talks about how he went and found the wells of his father Abraham, which were redug, and then he went out and began to dig other wells. Now, this digging of wells, don't know if you've ever done anything in hot, arid environment. I know somebody that went to Africa to help build stuff, and they were saying a week out in the heat trying to dig fields and ditches and all sorts of things, how horrific that was, because it's not easy work. And so this wasn't an easy thing that Isaac was engaging on, But he was actually doing two things. He was redigging the wells that had been blocked, and he was finding new wells. And as we move into a post-COVID future as a church, we need to do these two things as well. You know, there's a tendency, and then it's a kind of, it can go either way, that there's part of us that wants to say we want everything to go back to the way it was. And we look to the past, and usually with rose-tinted glasses. If only we could get back to where we were. If only things could get back to normal. If only we could recover that. And some people would say that the election patterns that happened a couple of months ago suggest that actually in our communities and in our society, people want continuity. And they just want the status quo. And there's a kind of hankering after all we've been through for the status quo and a bit of security. And there's an element of that. But there's also then another voice, which kind of says, it was all rubbish anyway, it was terrible, we need a new thing, we need something brand new, we need to get rid of it all, we need to start again, we need to dig new wells, find new water, find a period of new refreshing, and kind of that's another voice. And actually, you know what, both voices need to be heard. Because as a church, as we move forward, we have to do two things. We do have to redig the wells that have been lost. And there is an element of restoring some of the past that's gone. There's a restoration of ministries, restoration of worship, restoration of things that have sustained the life of the church through the generations. But there also has to be an openness to a new thing. An openness to innovation, an openness to re-examining and saying, as a church, do we need to do things in a slightly different way? You see, a church that goes in that direction is going to have to be focused not on trying to sustain itself. And again, it's one of the great temptations that a church like ours might face, which is, how do we recover the past? How do we sustain what we had? And then our focus becomes sustaining SBC, keeping the lights on, getting people back into SBC, and that becomes our focus, rather than the mission that God has called us to. You see, here's the thing. I believe that if we focus on our mission and the calling of God to reach out, then God will take care of the other stuff. And we as a church need to keep focus on fulfilling the mission. And that's why, and you'll actually hear over the next couple of weeks and see as we talk about some of the things that have been happening in community, some of the things that have been happening in youth, some of the things that are going on at the moment in terms of our impact in others' lives. That actually, the mission of the church continues. And as we prioritize that mission, then we will see a restoration of the other stuff. And it's important that we do that. So we need both the old and we need the new. The second thing that we see in Isaac's this story is that he encounters a degree of frustration and stroke opposition. I would love to tell you here that the next month or 2 months, if we just got rid of masks and we were allowed to sing again, church is going to be great. It's going to be so easy. It's going to be wonderful. And, you know, good times lie ahead. I'd love to tell you that. But the truth is, for us as a Christian community in this context, if we are truly to impact our communities, if we're truly to see the church restored, it's going to be hard work. There is going to be frustration and there is going to be opposition. And these things are going to be part and parcel of moving towards what God has for us. You know, sometimes we think if we're doing the will of God, it's all just plain sailing and it's dead easy, and if things are going hard then we can't be doing the will of God. But actually sometimes We're doing the will of God when things are hard, and we have to persist in relation to it. The words that are used here was when Isaac digs a well, and then we're told that he renamed it because people said, it's our well. And he went and dug another well, and they said, that's our well. But the words are contention and hatred. And then he digs a third well, and that well is called freedom, or the open place, actually, literally means. And what it is like the place we can grow. And so Isaac has to press on through to get to that place where he can grow. The third thing that we see in this story is that as Isaac pursues water, as he pursues the digging of these wells, he receives a promise from God. And we see it in verse 24 where God says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. You know, sometimes it's really difficult to believe that God will bless us as we journey. I was talking with Heather Westwood just yesterday, and some of you may know, but Heather is comfortable with the congregation knowing that her cousin, Esther Brown, was the person who was murdered in their flat this week in Glasgow, and you may have seen it on the news. Certainly it's been in the newspapers. And she was a committed, loving Christian, and somebody broke into her flat and apparently murdered her in the break-in. A horrifying act, you know, contention and hatred being described there. And as you talked about something like that, here's somebody who served God, and then their life comes to an end in that way. And although we recognize the promise of heaven, you struggle with how can this be? How can that be? And, you know, and sometimes in our lives, we experience things like this where we just experience setbacks where it just doesn't go the way the Hollywood movie would want it to run. It doesn't play out the way that we think it should play out. COVID's been like that for us as a society. COVID's been like that for us as a church. And it's hard when you sometimes get there to actually think, where's God in all of this? You know, has God abandoned us? Has God deserted us? Are we a desolate people who have been left destitute? And maybe for Isaac, you know, as he dug these wells and he had contention and frustration and hatred and you know, and he just kept digging, and every time he thought he found water, he lost it. And it was like, I just want that open place where we can grow, where we can thrive. And sure, he probably sat there and said, God, you know, you abandoned me. And God spoke this into his life, and he said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Now, the truth is that probably as we go into post-COVID world, the vision of SBC is probably hazier than it has been in most Junes when we start into a vision series, because we're not really sure what the world is going to look like as we go into that post-COVID world. We know our mission to reach that world, but exactly what that will look like, we don't know. And there might be a tendency to feel a little bit abandoned by God and think, God, why are we here? Why is it so difficult? Why are we in a place where we just don't seem to know that freedom and that blessing and that room to grow? And into that, God says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And I believe as a church, this is a promise to us that as we go out, we dig the wells, whether we keep the wells or not, but as we continue to be faithful to the mission that God has called us to, God promises us he will not abandon us, but he will bring us to a place of blessing and a place of increase. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the persistence of Isaac. Lord, we recognize that as Isaac journeyed, he sometimes felt alienated from your blessing. He sometimes felt distant from your blessing, yet he persisted in looking for that water of blessing, that water of refreshing, that water of new life. Lord, I pray for us as a church that as we go forward, I thank you for all the wonderful things that are happening at this time. But I pray, Lord, that we will continue to persist and dig those wells until we reach that water of blessing. I thank you for that promise that you will bless your people. You'll not bless us because of anything that we do, but because of your Son, Christ. And Lord, we pray that we would know that increase and that blessing in the year ahead. I ask this in your name. Amen.